Well, this is going to be a lot of fun if our conversations off air are anything like they're going to be here on air. But we're continuing our conversations and discussions around the arts and education around the country, and specifically music education. And we're going to be speaking with an officer of NAFME, many of you know and are members of the National Association for Music Education. This series is sponsored by Soundtrap, a Google for Education partner, where you can make music and podcast online, a collaborative tool for the modern classroom. You can also enjoy creative student groups and classes, create assignments and remote lessons, and enjoy walled gardens and protected environments where they are COPPA compliant. That is Children's Online Privacy Protection Act compliant there at Soundtrap. And so without any further ado, we want to welcome in the Assistant Executive Director for Marketing and Resource Development and the Chief Operating Officer for Give a Note Foundation at NAFME, and that is Jane Mel Balick. Jane, how are you today?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I am good. So we were having fun off air talking a little bit about just the different hats that you wear and really just the role that NAFME plays, whether it's with regards to resources and our support for the profession and also advocacy. So that gives us a slew of things to be able to talk about. But I know that March is a very big month with music in our schools month. So tell us a little bit from the marketing perspective, how you approach getting the word out about music education and how has that changed throughout your career?
Well, you know, that is a great question, because when I first started here about 7 years ago, Music in Our Schools Month was a very traditional kind of program where we provided resources to teachers in the form of lesson plans and free sheet music, actually downloadable sheet music. And they rehearsed those pieces with their kids, and then they uploaded a performance of their students in that, and we called it the Concert for Music in Our Schools Month. So we used to edit all those pieces together and create one 30-minute video of a whole bunch of student groups performing little snippets of all of these six or seven pieces of music that we had provided. So as times have changed, right, we don't do it that way anymore, because we don't need to do it that way anymore. Starting this year, we've started to provide digital resources for teachers. So all that sheet music is now digital sheet music. So they can arrange it for their own choir or their own school ensemble. And then they can upload anything they want to us, just tell us how they're celebrating Music in Our Schools Month. There's also a huge advocacy component to Music in Our Schools Month. So many of our state affiliates do their own Hill Day celebrations. So they take a performing group or performing groups up to their own state capital, and they perform to show the importance of music education. So it's really become, it's evolved, especially with the digital media now, it's evolved into really more of an advocacy kind of PR moment, where we're celebrating, bringing everybody together and celebrating the power of music education. The Give a Note Foundation has added on to that. For 3 years, we've done our Music in Our Schools tour. So this is a really exciting thing, where we have a contest, and this year schools sent us a really short video clip, 30 to 60 seconds, of a portion of a performance that inspired their school. And we did a national voting campaign with Radio Disney, and we picked one school in each of our six NAFME divisions, and we're in the middle of those tours now. In fact, tomorrow there's a huge concert and grant presentation at Spanish Forks Junior High School in Utah. So we engaged a lot of teachers to celebrate music education, talk about how it inspired, and then we go out to the school. Radio Disney provides an artist, we do a grant presentation for the Give a Note Foundation, and we honor the school ensemble that performs. So it's a really great community event, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So that's really consistent with this idea of really celebrating it as a public relations thing, to really just to make it not such an inward celebration, but to really get everybody involved in celebrating music in their community.
I'm glad you made that point there at the end about the inward component of it. I want to ask you, from the PR and the marketing, just the messaging piece. You know, I've had some recent discussions with some very accomplished music educators, and some of them have talked about, you know, this notion of whether or not we should be really, how much should we be propping up music education as a value proposition, almost to say, as here we are over here, you know, in relation to the other academics that students are typically taking around the country, and others saying, you know, we shouldn't have to do that at all. Like, we belong, and we shouldn't have to wave a flag that says we're here. I'd just be curious where you sit in that, and how do you structure your messaging so that you can basically, not that you can appeal to everybody, but that you can not only celebrate what's going on, but also act like you belong, as you should.
Right. So this is a really exciting year for us, because in December, the new Every Student Succeeds Act was passed. And now music is part of a well-rounded education. So we aren't, you know, waving our flag anymore and saying we belong, we belong, we do. And I think that what we want to do is really bring attention to the important work that teachers do, that music teachers do. It's more than just music education being important. It's showing the role of teachers. We recently did an event with the Army All-American Marching Band. And so we went down to San Antonio, and we have 125 kids that perform the halftime show for the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. So it's an East versus West high school game. So we brought 12 band directors down this year to really talk to the Army about the role they play and how they influence kids. I can't tell you how many of those folks said, you're a coach, right? You just do this after school. And I think that's part of what this is supposed to be about, what Music in Our Schools Month is about. Music teachers are trained teachers. And I always tell people, they're teachers first. They just happen to teach music. So, you know, educating people about the fact that music is a comprehensive, sequential academic subject is a big part of what we do. And we don't believe, you know, as an organization, we don't believe that we have to celebrate it as an add-on or as a special thing. It is part of what every child needs to be a complete person.
What do you find, what's the change in tenor from your members as you now, have you talked about some of the earlier days where we were talking about printing off music and these sorts of things? Just what's the tenor of the members in the ways in which they communicate with NAFME and what they are asking for from a support component?
Yeah, so we see a huge growing online support community. So many, many, many of our teachers are isolated, right? So there's only one music educator in a school. One of our Music in Our Schools tour stops is a school in Stapleton, Nebraska, and one teacher teaches K through 12 music. One. And another one of our tour stops is in Missouri, and that teacher teaches in a K through 2. He's next to a 3 through 5. And then there's a middle school and high school, and they're each the only music teacher, and they face their own challenges within a community. So we've seen that networking, both online and in person, has become more and more important over time. And teachers want to share their resources. They want to share their strategies. They need professional development when they have time. We notice that some of our webinars that we offer for teachers, they're viewed at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, you know, midnight. So teachers are coming home from, they're teaching all day, they're coming home from school, they're like, I need to be better, I want to be better, how do I do this? And we have those resources, and we see, oh my gosh, it's 11 o'clock at night, and these teachers are still working hard. So that digital component, that online community, that network, that those virtual networks that we can build for support, that's really emerging as a big, big deal for them.
We want to remind everybody that this series is sponsored by Soundtrap, a Google for Education partner, where you can make music and podcast online, a collaborative tool for the modern classroom. Jane, let's talk a little bit about sort of the next group of teachers that are coming up through their own university trainings. I would love to know a little bit about NAFME's support and approach to that next group and how you are sort of coalescing around them, whether it's resources, mentors. I'm just curious as to the approach and bridging that gap between current and established music educators and those that want to become those.
Right. So we love our teachers in training. We find that they are the most motivated, passionate people out there for music education. And they have a very strong brand identity with the National Association for Music Education. So at each of our live events, we build a special component for collegiates. So at our National In-Service Conference, we have a special track for those, where we bring in, we have a council for collegiate students. So those are experienced teachers from around the country who work as mentors in that community. So they select content for them, and they're actually physically present. In addition to that, unfortunately for our music educators, unlike other educators, they have to be personal advocates for what they do. They're in a position in a school where they're still not considered part of that, you know, the core academic subjects. So they have to be advocates. So we, on our annual Hill Day that's coming up at the end of June, we invite college students, our collegiate students, to come and be part of that. It's our national leadership meeting, but we invite them to come and experience that. So they're connected to the leaders in their state, they get connected to their federal elected officials, and they're part of a larger movement to talk about why music education isn't a standalone, why it isn't an extra, why it isn't something different than other academic subjects. So we're building those leaders of tomorrow through those resources, through personal relationships.
Jane, if you go with me on this path, this parallel that I'm starting to see being revealed a little bit, you know, in athletics, we see at the professional levels or even the collegiate levels, there's this concern about how do we make sure that the younger kids either get engaged with our sport, and how do we sort of build that next group? So when we look at the students that are part of music education programs and classes, what I think is fascinating is all of these former students who are now band directors, choir directors, and it seems like this pattern I keep seeing with all the professionals I keep speaking with. Is this just by chance? Do you see this as part of a program or way to communicate and identify talented young people that might have an inclination for being a teacher first, to your point, which I think was well said, and then doing so in a musical or creative arts environment?
So one of the unique things about a music teacher, especially at the high school level, is that teacher is going to be with that student for 4 years. So the chances that a high school student is going to have the same science teacher or math teacher or English teacher for 4 years isn't likely. But they will have the same band teacher, unless the band teacher leaves or the orchestra teacher leaves or the choir teacher leaves. So there's an opportunity to build a relationship there. And there's a lot of time spent in music. So there's the before school, there's after school, there's rehearsals, there's festival events, there's travel events. So they really bond as a community. And that teacher, that music teacher, especially at the secondary school level, becomes so much more than a teacher. They become a mentor. I see every year about January, December, our high school teachers are just swamped with writing letters of recommendation. And they are so influential in those kids' lives for a variety of things, because they know how hard music is, and they really build the kids up. It really creates a sense of community. So I think that's why those folks, kids go into music, because they're influenced, heavily influenced by their high school music teacher. We also have a Trium Music Honor Society that fosters leadership and musicianship in kids. We have 68,000 middle and high school students involved in that program. And we are now working on, because we understand exactly this, that we need to train those kids to be thinking about what it's like to be, the possibility of becoming a music educator, but we also want to train them to be lifelong advocates. So as we go forward, we're working on saying to kids, this is a path if you want to be a music educator. These are some people you can talk to. These are some mentors you can talk to. This is what it's like. And then if you don't want to be a music educator, if you're going to go into some other field or you're going into music performance, you still should stay connected to this, because it has such a profound effect on your life. And you want everybody else to be able to experience. You don't want those things cut over time. So I think that we're being very thoughtful about getting those middle and high school kids to be thinking about a trajectory, and also at the same time providing resources for those advisors who are mentors and helping them along, because they're very busy people and they need all the help they can get in getting resources to kids. And at the same time, we're also reaching out to parents. Parents are so desperate for education on what the opportunities are for their kids in music. And there's a lot, there's music industry jobs, there's music performance jobs, there's music education jobs, and there's also community orchestras and community bands and community choirs, where even if their child is passionate about it, there's still a pathway for them to be able to continue to enjoy music and have music part of their life, no matter what they choose.
I think such an important point when you think about that a student would be with a band director or choir director, the music educator, throughout the entirety of whether it's their middle school or high school career, and just the impact on the relationship and keeping kids engaged in schools, especially when we're talking about dropouts and other challenges around the U.S. education system. Let's close with this, Jane. Tell me a little bit about your background in music. I mean, obviously, with your skills, you could be doing a lot of different things and working with a lot of different groups, and you are with NAFME and obviously Give a Note Foundation. So just give us a brief background on how music has touched your life.
So I was a terrible flute player in high school.
The trick comes out.
Yes, and I picked it because it was small and fit in my book bag. but and I was you know, I was also a competitive swimmer at the time, so I didn't really devote my time to music. I loved it. I loved playing music. I loved playing music I love, but I wasn't really that great at it. And at that time in my life, I liked to be good at things, and I liked to do the things I was good at. And then my daughter, my oldest daughter, she's a quiet, really smart, thoughtful young woman. And when she had an opportunity to pick an instrument, she chose the trumpet. And years later, she told me she chose the trumpet because it gave her a voice. And as she got better at it, people would listen to her. And that really made an impact on me. So I was very supportive of her in that. And then my other daughter started in the band for, you know, just because it was a great activity. It was a great community of people she wanted to be with. And then I got really involved in the band booster organization, and I call myself a recovering band parent because they're both now all off at college, graduated college. And I saw what a difference it made in so many kids' lives. I remember this one young man in the band, and he was a percussionist, and he, you know, he just didn't fit into the school, the rest of the high school. And so every morning he showed up at the band door waiting for the band teacher to get there. I mean, that's all he did. He spent his time in the band room. The kids ate in there. They hung out in there. And I thought about, you know, what would happen if that wasn't there? Where would he go? What would he do? And I believe now he's a professional percussionist playing in an orchestra. So I think about all those kids along the way. The piece I like about Giving Up Foundation is it really focuses on those kids and those teachers in those communities that don't have resources like a lot of our suburban communities have. So providing these small grants and bringing some attention to those communities, you see that these kids who don't have a lot of resources now get an opportunity to do more. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love meeting the teachers. I love meeting the parents and the kids and talking to principals. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that Give a Note does. And, you know, uniquely, Give a Note doesn't give instruments or coupons or something like that. We actually give cash to schools. And in the 5 years that we've been around, we've provided over $1.2 million in cash to schools.
That's incredible.
It's wonderful. I love it. I want to give, I wish I could do that every year. $1 million a year. That's our goal, but it is a great opportunity. And we're very, very strategic and thoughtful about it. We want to make sure we're doing those things in communities where there's support so that the music is sustainable over time. So you have to have an engaged principal. You have to have a supportive community, and you have to have a teacher who's committed to excellence. And there's a lot of them out there, and we're just not able to give money to everyone.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to learn more about NAFME, and I've talked to some of your members, and so I see the quality of individual that is associated with what you are doing. We want to thank Jane Mel Balick, the COO of Give a Note Foundation and the Assistive Executive Director of Center for Marketing and Resource Development at NAFME. You can go to NAFME, NAFME.org for more information. They've got summits coming up in D.C. They've got their conference in November. They've got a lot going on, and obviously celebrating music in our schools month here in the month of March. We want to also thank our sponsor, Soundtrap, a Google for Education partner where you can make music and podcast online, a collaborative tool for the modern classroom. Once again, I'm Dr. Rod Berger. This is for